Well, good morning, Delaware County.
Good morning, good morning.
And as you may notice, that is not Nicole Fowles. This is Hannah Simpson with us today.
Good morning, Molly.
They're leaving me in charge, Nicole, if you're listening. This is very dangerous. And I'm really excited because we have our special guest today, Kellen Freeman from our Maker Studio, because we're going to talk a lot about that. Good morning, Kellen.
Good morning.
So excited to have you in with us today. And let's kick this off like we always kick this off. Well, other than complaining about the weather, can I complain about the weather again?
Sure, yeah,
because
yeah.
What is it? What is the weather?
Cold? Ugly?
Meh.
I mean, Lloyd just keeps saying to me, yeah. Tell Ohio it's drunk and go home. Just go home. So, other than complaining about the weather, I want to know what you've been reading, Hannah. You always bring the most interesting books when you come.
Well, I am working through our next book for the Ostrander Book Club. We are reading, in honor of Women's History Month, Empress of the Nile, the daredevil archaeologist who saved Egypt's ancient temples from destruction. So it's a biography of this heroic woman who I had never heard of before. Her name was, pardon my pretentious pronunciation, Christiane de Rochenoubecourt. That's how it's said in French.
Wow.
Christiane des Rochenoubecourt.
That is really nice.
Nice.
Christiane, she was just, for her time, a wild woman. She was, at age 25, leading excavations off the Nile, just absolutely finding, she found a pristine, untouched tomb that had not been touched by looters. And then, and this was all in the late 30s, and then what happens in Europe in the late 30s, early 40s? You know, World War II.
This seems like an episode of Murdoch Mysteries already.
And so she is called back because she has been sent originally to Egypt to do all these excavations, because she's a staff member at the Louvre. Mm-hmm. And so she's called back by the head of the Louvre, and she helps to head up the spreading of the treasures of the Louvre throughout France. And so she goes into the Loire Valley, and she helps get the Egyptology collection ensconced in these chateaus, which, oh no, she has to go to the countryside of France? Oh man, and look at those castles. Well, I mean,
what
it is
a
very
shame.
Serious.
I wish my life were just that challenging.
And what she also helped do after she got the world treasures of the Louvre saved from the Nazis and hidden from the Nazis, she also got staff members who were told to guard these, to stay in these castles, and their families, their children, and their elderly, and she helped shuffle them all over the countryside and keep them hidden from the Nazis as well to help protect these treasures. And then she went back to France, and this is, I'm only through World War II of her life, and she's only in her mid-30s here, and she lives a very long life.
Mm-hmm.
And she works at the Louvre while during World War II, and right when the Allies to retake Paris, they are sleeping in the Louvre, they are hiding in the attics and sleeping off of like rations that the director's wife had put in the attic of the Louvre.
Wow.
And in the courtyard is where the last of the Nazis were partitioned, like held as like captives. And so she was just, and then she happened to meet someone and have a baby during all of this time. And that's where I am so far. I cannot imagine what she's going to do with archaeology. And this is all before she was 32.
You know, you got me at attic of the Louvre. And now I am obsessed. I think I need to go to France and I need to convince them I need to go in the attic. I didn't know the Louvre had an attic.
Well, the Louvre, sorry, now you're talking to a Francophile. And the Louvre.
Oh, please.
Was a palace and was actually opened as a museum in the 1790s, which is insane to think that they even thought of it as a museum then.
Mm-hmm.
So the Louvre is so many treasures, and it's just incredible the sort of things that this woman does. And so we can't wait to talk about it with my book club. So if you have time in the next couple weeks to pick it up and devour it, because it reads really well as a nonfiction and biography. And we're going to talk about it at Ostrander the first week in April. So
I love reading books like this because I like to figure out what change in my life do I need to make so that somebody in history like defines me as a wild woman. I don't think I've done quite enough yet. I don't know why you're laughing, Mark, because clearly I'm on my way. But what is that big change I'm going to have to make? I mean, There's a cave somewhere I need to start living in. There's something I'm
going
to do.
She really is like Indiana Jones. She's incredible.
I want to study these women and just like, I think I need to get rid of fear. I think that might be the blocker is fear, having
she
any of
it. She also keeps antivenoms with her everywhere she goes because of all of the cobras in Egypt.
Oh.
And so when Egyptians, and they go into such remote places, they went, I'm saying like this is now, it's that transformative, that the villagers in these remote villages knew that she had medical supplies. So when anyone got bit by a snake, she would just, and so the Egyptians really embraced her because she helped them. She didn't ever talk down to them. She just like, she was just the best.
Okay,
I
need to start carrying some antivenom. I can do that.
Or snake handle. Start handling snakes.
I can do handling snakes.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I come from, got some West Virginia backgrounds. So.
I need a t-shirt that says that my idol is Christiane de Rochenoblecourt.
Oh, you're so making that t-shirt now.
You know where I would make it? The Maker Studio. Kellen, are you there?
I'm here.
What have you been reading?
I want to know.
I haven't been reading anything. I have not had the time.
What have you been watching or listening to?
So that is where I'll get to.
I love it.
So the newest season of Survivor kicked off a couple weeks ago. So that's one that we've been following for a couple of years now. It's always fun to see what new twists on the game they bring into it. Including this year, a challenge with a 500-pound giant gecko that they had to haul and carry and throw over giant things and drag under other stuff as a team. Which
Wait,
was,
a
really
living gecko?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
No, they made...
It's like, I didn't know geckos got that big.
No, they made... I think it was like a 10-foot-long, 500-pound gecko character, and it was floppy and all over the place and not cooperative when you're trying to throw it over top of a wall or anything like that. So...
That sounds
it was
like
really
the
entertaining.
Stuff I used to do to campers when I wanted, you know, them to like sleep really well the next night.
Yep, that sounds about right. And then I feel like the thing that I always recommend whenever I come on here is that there's a new season of Jet Lag the Game on YouTube.
Ooh.
This is a favorite reality show hosted by three guys that make the world their game board.
Ooh.
So your current game is playing hide and seek across Switzerland.
Okay, so, that could get me into Wild Woman.
There.
Okay, keep talking.
Yep. Yeah.
So one of the three has 2.5 hours to get somewhere and mark that as their kind of hiding location, and they have like a 1 mile radius that they can work in.
Uh-huh.
The other two, then at the end of that time frame, can start following after, but they have to figure out where they're at. They have a bunch of different questions they can ask.
Mm-hmm.
What is your latitude higher than ours? What is the region that you're in? Like, what's the district that you're in? Can you take a photo of the train station that's nearby? A whole bunch of things. And each of these questions will give the hider a certain amount of coins at a certain amount. Once they hit 50 coins, they can roll a die. And from there, they can curse the other team and make them a challenge. Like, roll a piece of cheese 30 feet. Or... buy a chunk of Swiss cheese and fill it in with another cheese until it is a solid block of cheese. And at that point, then you can begin asking more questions.
That sounds
ingenious. You can't advance. You can't ask any more questions. And so sometimes it works out. Other times they have enough information. They kind of know what they're doing. They don't have to bother with it. But
Kellen,
whoever
today,
after 4 days has hid the longest wins the thing.
We are going to have to plan the Delaware County version of this as soon as I get back from the radio show. You and I need to talk, and I've got some ideas already, which you'll probably need to make better.
I'll have to tell you about Car Hide and Seek, a game that we came up in college.
Car Hide? Okay, yeah. No, we're playing. Okay, we're going to just, I mean, working. We're working all the time really hard. Can I take a sabbatical and just do this stuff?
Yeah, who's bankrolling this?
There's a separate Nebula or subscription service called Nebula that they're a part of. And so a lot of the subscription money that goes into that is divided among the creators that are on it. And there's enough there that's able to fund the trips there and everything, along with whatever the income from the YouTube ads and everything are. Hmm. And that's where that comes from.
Pretty cool. That's awesome, Kellen. And I many, many ideas that I now have for orneriness that we can get to up to. I guess I'll tell you all what I've been reading. It's a So I don't know if the book's bad or it's just not what I wanted. So the book's called What Got You Here Won't Get You There by Marshall Goldsmith. I think it's a pretty well-known like leadership type book, but I was hoping it was going to be like a system-wide like changes and ways to bring yourselves into new places and rethink things. It is very much about me. It's about me being a better person, and I'm all for that, and he has lots of good points, and I'm definitely taking stuff from it, but I really wanted to get really excited about something.
You wanted something a little higher level.
I did. This would be great if you're like, you've been in your career for a while, and you feel like you're not getting things done you should. You're not encouraging, or things aren't kind of going, you know, it's stagnated. Nothing's growing. Nobody's excited. Mm. This would be a good book to sort of look inside and say, hey, am I the one who's sort of stopping it? So it has its place. But the title had me thinking something very different.
Okay.
And so it's one of those times that like I could give this to someone who told me what they're looking for and say, yes, this is your book. This was not my book. This was not my book. I gave it a 4-star, which for me is really low. I'm a very nice rater. Please never judge my ratings on Goodreads.
Well, and that's the thing about being in libraries is we read a lot of books, and even if they're not for us, it's great because now we have them in our brains. And so when you come into the library and ask us, oh, I'm looking for this, like I might think that was not for me, but it is perfect for this person.
And I finish.
So we're doing the work.
I give all of you permission to put your books down. I finish every book I start, though. I'm one of those people who can't walk away because what if the last page is magical and I absolutely love it? And so I put myself through it. Never feel like you have to be me, but it does help me with those moments where somebody tells me something. Look, I read for people I don't always agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thrilled when I give you that book that you're looking for. I'm thrilled when I can match what your goals are.
Yeah.
So for you, if what I just told you about what got you here won't get you there, if you're looking for some internal growth so that you can make sure you're not the problem stopping it, this is the book for you. If you're looking for a bigger system change, if you're looking for, you know, something that's a little less me and a little more us, this is probably not your book. So that's my review on it. Now, it's about time for us to go to a break, but when we come back, Kellen, get ready. We're going to tell us all about how exciting it is that we are at a year of having our second maker studio. The one at Liberty has been open, and we're going to talk all about it and what's in it.
Hello there.
I love it. Hello again. Just as we get going, though, I think we need to make Hannah say the name of that author one more time with that French pronunciation.
Yes.
Oh, man. I hope Nick is not listening right now because he's going to make fun of me so bad when I get home. Christiane Desroches-Neubecker.
Oh, that's really pretty. I feel like we're in France right now. But let's get to what I can't wait. Kellen, we are celebrating a year of having a maker studio at Liberty, and we've had so many changes and so many awesome things. Why don't you tell our viewers a little bit about what your last year has been like?
The last year has been a little bit of a challenge. It's been Tom and I as the two staff for the Maker Studio since we started. And by opening a second studio, we had to split up and each take one studio, which depending on the time of year was difficult on its own. But then like the December month hit and that was insane. But thankfully, we have two new employees who started this week.
We are so
doing
excited.
Training. And so that should help with that amount of work. So whenever you come in, we should have the time to spend a little more time with you than we did before because there's somebody else who can answer somebody else's questions. So we're looking forward to that.
People come in, what kind of things should they expect to see in the Maker Studio over at Liberty?
So we have largely the same amount of equipment that we have at the Delaware location in one form or another, but there are a few unique items. So the two that we have there that are not at Delaware would be a sublimation printer. This is the most regular printer we have in some ways when it comes to operating it, but it uses a specialized ink that when combined with a heat press can dye a material. And not just like applying a decal to it, but can actually dyeing the surface of the material. So you can do fabrics that are at least 65% polyester, or there are blanks out there like license plates and keychains and luggage tags.
Wait,
and
you do license
tote
plates?
Bags. Mm-hmm. But we have mugs and we have some mouse pads. We try and keep them in stock, but it depends on how many people are making at any given time. Sometimes we run out. We have a few other random things floating around. Michael's and Joanne are a local place that you can find some things that we don't stock, especially shirts and things. They're just right down Sawmill from the Liberty Branch, so they're not too far away.
Well, and the reason that you have to do that is because only certain materials will take the dye sublimation. Mm-hmm. And so you can't just be any old t-shirt that you bring in.
Yeah. Like I said, it needs 65% or more polyester, and it really works best on lighter colors. White gives you the most vibrant colors. Grays work pretty well because everything kind of mutes evenly. But if you put it on a yellow shirt, everything tints yellow. So that whatever the yellow in your design is kind of disappears, and the blues tint a little bit green and stuff. So colors can work, especially if you're doing like just a black design on it. That handles pretty well. But if you have a lot of vibrant colors, you want white or a gray to really maintain what those are.
You know, Kellen, the other thing I get really excited about with the Maker Studio at Liberty is I'm always trying to clean out my house. And you have so many things that help me keep my memories, keep different important pieces, or even sell some of my things. You have some things that can really help me when I'm trying to downsize a little bit. Can you talk a little bit about how people can preserve some of their memories?
Yep. So at this location, the other unique item is our media conversion station. So we have two of these. One is dedicated to photos and slides and such. And the other is dedicated to audio video methods. So for the photos, we have two different scanners. One is called the Fast Photo, and that takes a stack of pictures and scans them super quickly, makes adjustments to them, scans the back if you've got any text on it.
I love that part because my mom wrote
like
on
one
everything.
A second.
Yeah.
Throws them through like 1 a second. Super quick.
And you don't want to lose
really
those memories of your family member's handwriting on the back.
No. Or
yeah. Or just, in my case, I have a lot of these pictures. I have no idea who any of the people in them are.
Yes. That as well.
I know they're my grandparents, my great-grandparents and great aunts and uncles, but I don't know who they are, and nobody is around to answer some of those questions.
And if you can find one picture that gives you one of the names, you can start unfolding that mystery. It's like little detectives ourselves when we're doing that. No, you know, and I also have my sister's wedding VHS in my closet that she gave me to take care of. So what can I do with that at the Maker Studio?
So on the other side of the table, we have our audiovisual conversion options. And the most commonly used one there is the VHS conversion. So we have a old VCR sitting there, and it plugs into the computer. You put your tape in and just record whatever's coming through. So it's a very easy process, but it's not a fast one.
It takes as long as the video is, or the cassette tape. Because I have digitized a cassette tape of my grandparents singing in a choir, and I just had to let it play. I couldn't hear what was being played, but it was a 3 hour long thing, so I let it play for 3 hours.
So if I want to digitize the episode of Hunter that I taped over my sister's middle school play, I could do that and give it to her as a gift.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
She'll love that.
Just email it to her. Make a burner email account and vaguely threatening.
Here's your childhood play. And then she gets her episode of Hunter. She's still mad at me over that one. Fairly. I'm sorry, Julie.
And that is one of the benefits of doing this yourself over sending it out, is that you can control what you record. So if you do have a 2 hour video of your trip to the beach, but you know, half an hour of it taken up in the middle with the nightly news, you can just stop recording that and pick up again when the vacation video starts back up. You aren't stuck with just one whole
copy of the tape. 4 hours recording me walking around in the snow in 1997, I can edit that down to the 20 actual interesting minutes there were.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Excellent. Yep. Well,
so that station is the only one in the Homemaker Studio that has a 2 hour reservation time slot because of the extra time it takes for it. Mm-hmm. Everything else is the 1 hour, and you can make the reservations for those from the library's website. Guarantees your time on the machine when you get here.
And can you walk them through what it would look like, you know, starting at www.delawarelibrary.org? How would they get into the Maker Studio reservation information?
Yep. The fastest way is there's a menu in the top right corner of the screen, three little lines. If you click on that, Under the services section, Maker Studio Equipment Reservations is found. From there, there's a big blue button in the middle of the screen that'll say book now. You choose which of the two branches you want to go to, then which piece of equipment you want to work on, and that will provide you all of the open time slots for the next 2 weeks. Click on the one you want. We'll ask for your name, email, and phone number, and then it's yours. You get up to 15 reservations a month.
And we are really, really fortunate that the community loves this service so much. It is busy. Mm-hmm. So if you are listening and you want to come check it out, definitely make a reservation. Kellen also offers classes on Wednesdays. So if there's something you want to learn about a little bit more, check out the classes, which are on our regular events calendar. And just become a maker maven, become a maker expert.
Yes. There are so many neat things. If you're not sure what you want to do either, I suggest coming during some of our open hours and walking around the maker studio and seeing some of the examples that are out, some of the things being done while you're in there. I've gotten my best ideas by just sort of looking around and then going, hey, Kellen, that thing I've been thinking about. And then you tell me how I can make some of these things happen. Mm-hmm. So
yep. I'm not always the best at coming up with an idea, but I can usually tell you how to make yours.
That is fantastic to know.
That's an incredible skill set.
Because I can come up with some ideas.
And patrons love telling other people about what they're doing.
Yes.
So if you come in and see somebody doing, like working on the embroidery machine, they will love to tell you about what they're doing, what they're doing it for, and everything. So
I did my Christmas stockings last year on that machine.
Oh, yeah. So many people love just talking to each other about what they're doing, what they've done, what haven't they tried yet, and everything. It's a lot of fun being here.
And before we run out of time, if somebody wants to drop in and just kind of have a look around the Liberty Maker Studio, what's the next opportunity they'll have to do that?
We'll be back open Monday. We've been closed for training this week, but Monday resumes normal hours. We'll be there from 10 to 12, then 1 to 5 on Monday. Next opening, we'll be there.
It's a great time. And let's say somebody's closer to Delaware and they want to pop into the Delaware one. When would they be able to do that?
Same time. So we have the same hours at both locations. And those are found on the reservations page and just on the Maker Studios page on the library website. And both have them listed at the same times. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday are when our open hours are.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being our guest. Again, that is Kellen Freeman, who is the supervisor of our Maker Studio. Thank you for co-hosting with me today, Hannah Simpson.
Have a blast here.
Which now I want to say French-like, but I don't think I can.
No.
And we miss you, Nicole Fowles. We can't wait to see you again next week. But we'll see you next week. See you in the stacks.